Welcome, 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 welcome everyone to Kingdom Culture Life Redefined Podcast. I am so glad you're here, glad you're joining us today. I am your host, Larry Flannery, and I just want to say this right off the bat, God's power is available for you and ready to flow through you right now, Christian. God's power is for you and ready to flow through you right now. Believe that and expect that. And it's there, and it can happen. And as I always say, and I'll say it constantly to you, may you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to say a great big hello to my wonderful co-host, Dr. Lori. Or have you made it there yet, Lori? You got the doctorate?
No. I haven't even began to work on it, but hey, you know, I don't like school.
We're calling those things that be not as though they were. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Dr. Lori. I want to say to our audience, Lori, well, thank you, everyone, for your feedback.
Yes.
People that's been commenting and giving us feedback, we really, really appreciate it. We certainly don't take it for granted that you are taking your time to listen to us, and we hope that we continue to be a blessing to you. And that we continue to minister to you.
I was gonna,
last week. Go ahead.
Before you get into that, I was going to add, going to add that our producer added the email address into the link comments. So if somebody has a comment, or if they have a question, or if they want prayer, whatever, you can email that. And Larry, go ahead and give your It's your email address with Kingdom Culture. So go ahead and give that to them so that they can, if they want to contact us, they'll have a contact information.
Yes, kingdomculturelr@gmail.com.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Our producer, Jay, by the way, he's doing a tremendous job.
We're thankful
for all of his hard work. He's just behind the scenes and quiet and really does what Lori tells
That's
him to
right.
do, but he's still doing
I'm fond
a good
of
job.
Him. Yes.
Right? You're fond of him? Kind of like him pretty good? Going to keep him around a little bit longer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, he better keep doing a good job.
He better keep doing a good job.
He knows
That's
what's
right.
good for him. But Lori, I keep falling back to Dr. Lori, but I just love you and believe in you, and I think you're going to make it one of these days. Anyway, Lori, last week we started talking about you are not who you were, and we're going to continue down that vein today in a little bit more specific. Title this one, Renew Your Mind, Renew Your Mind. And I know, Lori, that you are constantly teaching your clients or your patients, clients. Yes, I'm sorry, that they must renew their minds, correct?
All the time. It starts with the mindset for sure.
Because it does matter.
It does. And the mindset is everything, because the Word of God says, as a man thinks, so he is. That can be scary at times. You know, just on a personal level, if I follow my way of thinking, it would take me into some very dark places. So we can't follow the mindset. Sometimes we can't follow the emotions. We have to follow what Jesus says. And we've been talking a lot about that.
Yeah. And well, and that's, Paul in Corinthians calls them strongholds in the mind. That's where strongholds get built, get set up, is in the mind. That's where high things exalt themselves in our lives, in our minds. And we know how powerful a stronghold can be.
Yeah.
And a mindset can be. So it is so important that we renew our minds to the right things. To the proper things, to truth.
Yeah,
right?
And when he says pull down those strongholds, I had somebody explain that to me years ago when I was a young Christian, and they said basically you pull that down, literally pull it down. I mean, and she used the visual, pulling it down, tossing it out, and replacing it with, and this was way before I was a counselor, even thought that I would ever be a counselor, but she taught me that, that thought process. You pull it down, throw it out, and replace it with the Word of God. And I use that, and if y'all could see me, I'm actually doing that. I'm pulling it down, throwing it out, and replacing it with the Word of God. And you always start, you know, the podcast with, may you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers in Jesus' mighty name. So you spoke that actually not too long ago when you came to a revival at our church, because if anybody, not many people know my past probably that's listening, but I've been through, you know, cancer treatments, all kinds of health issues, and you spoke that over me. So now I stand in the mirror every day and I speak that over myself. And I in my mind visualize that the closer I get to Jesus and the more I build that relationship with him, the more my health has to follow. And that's what I visualize. So
I speak it over myself constantly, my family constantly. I'm praying it over my children constantly, my wife constantly. And of course, my friends too. And I often send it out to in group text to different ministers or different individuals.
I've received it several times. Yeah.
Prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And I think if it wasn't God's will, it wouldn't be in scripture.
Exactly. But when you think about it, really is a, like it's a, an amazing promise that he's given us, that if we put the right things in the right place, if we seek after the kingdom first, seek you first, the kingdom of God, and everything, all these things shall be added to you. I mean, it tells us again and again in the Word of God, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding.
Let me lay a little bit of groundwork here to get us to where we're going, just kind of reviewing a little bit on last week. If you child of God, if when we're born again, the kingdom of God is in us and we are in the kingdom of God. We're not waiting to get there. We are there right now. And we talked last week about how God has delivered us. When we were born again, God delivered us out of the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 from the Amplified. I love it. From the Amplified, it says that the Father has delivered us or drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we are no longer, as Christians, I like to say, we are no longer controlled or under the control of darkness. We are now controlled, or we are now under the control of God's love. We are in the kingdom of God's love. In verse 14 says, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of sins. I love it from the Passion. The Passion says it like this: God has rescued us completely, completely. That's that free indeed thing that Jesus said, in my opinion. It's when that's that completely. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all of our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his blood. So he translated us, which means he transferred us from one kingdom to another kingdom. We are subjects now of a new kingdom under different laws. We belong to a different community when we are born again of the water and the Spirit. We are transferred out of the empire of sin, of ignorance, of misery, and now we are a part of a kingdom of holiness and knowledge and happiness, or be in health even, be prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. We lived in and we lived under the control, so many of us for years and years and years, of the kingdom governed by what Galatians 5:19 calls the works of the flesh: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, carousings, and the like. The list could go on. We were born under the control, all of us, under the control of that kingdom, of that government. We were governed by those things, and we still see those things dominant in our world right now. All of the works of the flesh which are manifest are these. And we just read that. But we are now, as born again Christians, we are now under the control of the kingdom of God, governed by love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That is the kingdom that governs us. We are no longer under the kingdom. Or Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, that's flesh, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we are a part of now. That's the kingdom that we belong to now.
Amen.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, we wonder, because as you're reading that, and as, you know, my mind, as I'm thinking, a lot of people, when they read the Bible or they take, you know, scriptures literally, so they're probably wondering right now, how is it that I'm transferred? How is it that I'm not in this world anymore and I'm in a new kingdom? How does that work? And it's all about, it's the mind, because obviously we're not being transported to another realm, meaning a whole nother world in the flesh, but in our thinking, in our mindset is where we're being transformed, where we're being renewed. Where
that's, and I taught on this and I preached on this Sunday when in the church I was at in Kentucky. It is a spiritual thing. It's not a flesh spiritual thing. Paul said that the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. They are foolishness unto him.
Yeah.
So when we try to think about these things from a natural perspective, they don't make any sense to us. But when we understand that it is a spiritual thing, that our birth was supernatural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's a God thing, a supernatural thing, and a supernatural birth. It is not carnal or fleshly. It is spiritual.
So where does,
and that we have to understand it on a spiritual level.
So in the process of this transferal, where does it take place? Where does it actually take place that we are transferred, that we are not in this world anymore? Now we're in the kingdom of God.
What do you
mean? When does it take place?
Where does
when
it, does take, it take, place?
Place? When
does it
take
place?
Place?
When we are born, again of the water and of the Spirit.
That's where I was. That's where I was leading to. Like when the name of Jesus is applied over you.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. When God breathes His life into us, that's the Holy Spirit. That's when it takes place. That's when the transformation takes place at that moment. And then we become, what Paul said, new creatures. New creatures. Not refurbished, not remodeled, not the same old people with the same old baggage. We just go to church on Sunday. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. But here's what does not happen. Our soul is cleansed. We are pure. We are righteous now in the eyes of God. We are holy now in the eyes of God. The Lord said He'll remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. He will remember them no more. They are gone. We have no past. We are new creatures. The only place we have a past now is in our own minds. When we leave that altar, all of that stuff is still there in our minds. And so that's when we have to be taught as new converts, as new Christians. We need leaders, we need ministers, we need somebody teaching us immediately, you need to Romans 12, 1 and 2, your mind. You need to begin to renew your mind to who you are in Christ Jesus and what God says about you. Because if you do not, you're going to constantly live in drastic confusion and turmoil about who am I? Who am I not? What am I? What am I not? I'm being torn between my old nature and my new nature. And I thought I was delivered from this, but it's still in my mind and all of this other stuff. We've got to immediately begin to renew our mind. And that when you study Romans 12 and 2, that renewal is an ongoing thing. It never really ends because we never stop growing and maturing in the things of God. We're always to be growing and going deeper in the things of God.
And that was actually the scripture.
Renewal is constant.
That's actually the scripture that I was about to share, because it says not only don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you by testing you may discern what's the will of God, what's good, what's acceptable, and what's perfect. So without the Spirit of God, it's hard for us to discern what is good, what is acceptable, what is the perfect will of God? So we have to have his spirit. And something else I want to add here, from a mental health aspect and from a counseling aspect and a temperament counseling aspect, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. So whenever we are born again, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be who you were, as in the tendencies that you might have. So like things that you may do, like someone, let's just say, use for instance, someone who may be an introvert. Once they receive the Holy Ghost and they are born again, doesn't mean that they're immediately going to become an extrovert. They're not going to immediately start loving to be around people. It's not going to change who God made you to be, but it will help you, because wherever you're lacking, that's where he's strong. Whatever you're needing, that's where he is going to be helping you in that. So, you know, I counsel a lot, some pastors who are introverts that don't like really being around people, but through the power of the Holy Ghost, it transforms them to be able to be with people, to be able to, even though they don't like it, they can do it because they have that power in them. And believe it or not, growing up, I was a very quiet, shy person. I was like, I didn't like to talk out loud. I didn't like to talk in front of people. But I remember specifically as a young adult praying for boldness, praying that God would give me boldness. This was before I knew anything about who I was. But I prayed for that boldness. And now, you know, I talk in front of people. I, you know, rarely meet a stranger. I still get into awkward situations. But guess what? The spirit in me helps me to do whatever it is I need to do.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, hey, I was the same way. When I was in school, it came book report time. Take a licking or give you book report. Get up in front of the students and give you book report. I'd just go get in the hall. I'd take my whipping. I was not going to get up and give a book report. I wasn't going to stand up in front of anybody and speak. Yeah. I wasn't going to stand up in front of public people and speak. I just wasn't going to do it. That's just not who I was. I didn't want to do it. I didn't like being up in front of people or anything like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the Lord called me to preach, it was like, hey, wait a minute now, this ain't going to work out. But the Holy Ghost just transformed me. And the more you grow into that and press into that, you know, the stronger and more.
It changes who you are.
Developed or bold.
Yeah, it does change who you are.
That's the power of the Holy Ghost. You said something about the perfect will of God a while ago. We can know and understand, but through the Spirit, what the perfect will of God is. Listen to this. This is the perfect will of God right here. And I'm going to read right here, and I'm going to read it from the Passion. This is the perfect will of God. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit's within us. So the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within us is divine love. And what flows from that divine love is joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit produces in us. To me, that sums up in one word, freedom. That's complete freedom right there. That's true life and enjoying life right there. I'm going to keep reading this from the Passion real quick. Listen to verse 24. Keep in mind, here's the renewing the mind thing. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after him. So may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. That's a powerful verse.
I like how it says we're original.
We could tag that verse 26. That could tag all the way back into what we talked about a few sessions ago about unforgiveness, forgiving people, releasing people, letting people go. We got to forsake all jealousy. We got to forsake things that diminish the value of others. That's a powerful verse.
It is. And us going back to, like you said, to forgiveness, when we look at it in that aspect, forsaking, putting everything that our human self, and we, you know, we said this a while back too, that it takes supernatural power in us to be able to forgive people for what they've done to us. So it's all about that mindset, all about, you know, what you're going to let live in your mind. And we let a lot of things and a lot of people, as the saying goes, live rent-free in our mind. And we don't have to.
That's right. Listen, let me ask you something. Okay, this was brought up to me where I was at just recently from one of our listeners. And they said, I have forgiven this person. I know I have forgiven this person, but I still can't stand to be around them, and I don't know how do I when I see them coming, I just want to go the other way. I know I've forgiven them, but how do I get past this feeling that I have that I just don't want to be around them?
Don't be around them.
Well, that was the next thing.
But I have to be around them
from time to time. Yeah. I have to be around them from time to
time. Well, I mean, I totally get that. I have people that I don't particularly care to be around, but when I'm around them, they may not be my favorite person. And, you know, I found that people that I butt heads with generally are the same type of people that I, you know, type of person that I am. And so we kind of butt heads. And I didn't understand that about myself for a long time, because there was just some people I couldn't tolerate them. But that doesn't mean that we just have to love them. That don't mean we have to, like, they don't have to be our best friend. They don't have to come over for family dinners. We don't have to get together on Christmas. But we can stand in the same house of worship and worship a God who is our Savior, you know. Yeah. And that doesn't mean, I mean, pray for that person for one thing. Go over, lay your hand on them and pray for them. But this still doesn't mean, even if we pray together in the altar, it still doesn't mean that we have to go to lunch after church. And you know what I'm saying? Some people just push our buttons. Right. And that's temperament. You know, that's just a part of life. But that doesn't mean that you have to despise them, hate them, or wish them evil, or wish them, you know, hurt. Just, you know, love them from a distance. Okay, so this is a big saying in our church. One of our ladies in our church said this years ago, and we've kept it up. You don't have to like everybody, but you do have to love everybody. And she often says, I not only love you, but I like you too. And she'll tell people that, you know, I don't just like you. I mean, I don't just love you. I like you. But this is true. We don't have to like everybody. Does the Bible tell us to like everybody? No, it tells us to love everybody. That doesn't mean they always have to be like in our presence all the time. And if they walk up, you start talking to them, you know, say, hey, how you doing? God bless you. And then move on if they get under your skin that much. I mean, but you can't, if you feel like you have really forgiven them, like, you still have to love them. You still have to pray for them. You still have to, you know, you don't have to do life with them, basically, is what I'm saying. I mean, even some of the disciples didn't get along. And Jesus said, you go over here and minister. You go over there and minister. And he just kept it rolling. If you can't, you can't get along with somebody, just keep it moving. I mean, I'm sure there's people in my church that don't particularly care for me. But
oh, surely not.
I don't know. So, you know, that doesn't mean that we're mean to each other. Or that they wish, I hope they don't wish me bad. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure there's people that don't like you. Imagine that.
No, everybody likes me.
I don't know.
Everybody likes me. Everybody likes me. They don't have no choice. I love them. They can't do nothing about it. So
but do you love them, but do you like everybody?
Let me see. I can't think of anybody right now I don't like. Maybe if somebody popped up that I've seen that I can't think of anybody I don't like. I don't like the devil. Does that count?
No. I don't know, maybe.
All right.
Moving on.
All right. Moving on. Let the love of God set you free from that. Lord, this next thing I want to want us to dive into, and it's really been in my heart, really been in my spirit, because I've been traveling so much and ministering to so many different people. And this is, and it's no joke. This is not a joke. And any, you know, anything that, some of the things I'm going to mention going forward, and we probably won't be able to cover it all in this one. We're going to have to continue in the next one. But it's not, none of it's taken lightly at all. And it's more out there and in the open right now than it has ever been. What I'm fixing to discuss, the church has ignored it for years because of ignorance, but now I think it's gone completely to the other extreme, where it's recognized, but it's not known how to deal with it. The church ignored it for years because they didn't know how to deal with it. And now it seems to be just out there on at every turn, and they still don't know how to deal with it. The World Health Organization says that 1 in every 8 people in the world live with a mental disorder. A mental disorder involves significant disturbances in thinking, emotional regulation, and behavior. The definition of disorder is a lack of order or a breach of peace, confusion, or disarray. And there are so many good, beautiful, wonderful Christians that are struggling and suffering from all kinds of mental and spiritual fears and phobias and anxieties. They suffer from being so beat down from their, again, we keep going back to the past with this stuff because we have to, because a lot of people are dealing with stuff even after they're saved that happened to them in their past. They're so beat down. They have no self-esteem, so they don't love themselves, and they don't think anybody else really loves them. And certainly, how can God love me? I minister to Christian people that are shouting in the altar and dancing and praising and crying in services, but at night they have nightmares. They wake up in cold sweats because of, they have panic attacks. Mm-hmm. There's fear. Christian people, Lori, good, God-loving people that came out of darkness, that came to Jesus to be free from darkness and free from oppression and free from fear and free from anxiety. Yeah. They came to Jesus to be free from that, but yet they're still being tormented in some area by something that happened to them or something in their family tree or something they did, mistakes they made that they're carrying. And they're tormented by these things. And Lori, I know that you carry the weight of this daily as well, because you counsel with a lot of these people. And so how many of them that you counsel with, that how many of them want to still be in that bondage?
Well,
they're coming to you because they want out.
They don't want to live in that bondage. And so I want to, you know, before we even get into this, first and foremost, like you said, we're not taking this lightly. There is mental health disorders.
Way.
They're real. They're, you know, mental diseases. They're real. And it's almost like the world has become much more tolerant and much more understanding of what's happening. But the church, like you said, they don't know how to, because someone who's dealing with a mental disorder, such as, you know, some of the ones that you've, I mean, PTSD, it's real, you know.
Absolutely.
Obsessive compulsion is real. ADHD, it's real. All of these things are real things that we're dealing with, but that doesn't mean that Jesus can't heal that also. And I think that's where when we're thinking about healing, physical healing, we're I don't know, people's mindset kind of goes to the physical, as far as, you know, a broken arm, a, you know, a back pain, a headache, you know, those types of healings. But people don't understand the mental part of a healing as well.
Absolutely. When I read Isaiah 53 and I read Matthew 27 and I see what Jesus went through, it is for the whole man. And you can't tell me that a God that can save our souls, wash our sins away, promise to take us to heaven, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cannot heal our minds.
He can.
Cannot. I mean, look at people. Look, how much money do people spend daily to go to doctors? How much money do they spend taking medication? Because they don't want to be sick. They don't want to be broke. They don't want to have depression. They don't want to have nightmares. They don't want to have panic attacks. They don't want to have that depression, Lori. They want free from that depression, Lori. And if and so they run to medical science and counselors and all that stuff, which all of it has its place, and that's fine. Thank God for all of that. But we serve a God.
Yeah.
We serve a God that's got to be able to heal, that people need to know that can heal your depression, your panic attacks, your fear, your whatever the mental disorder is. You better believe it's real. You better believe it's real. But that those stripes Jesus took, that beating Jesus took, that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is just as real. It's more real.
And there's oftentimes
than anything you and I are going through.
Because what I found is it can be a spiritual attack. It can be a chemical imbalance. It can be a side effect of a medication causing the anxiety, causing the depression. It can be so many reasons that we're feeling the way that we're feeling. But as we said, Jesus can heal it all. Sometimes you got to know what it is that you're getting prayer for. So medical doctors do have their place. But I've also found that some people, they don't want to deal with the pain, so they would rather take a medication so that they don't have to feel it. And some people don't want to deal with, you know, they don't want to do the work. They don't want to put in the effort of, you know, it's like diet and exercise. They want a quick fix. And so that's why some people, and it's with every health issue, not just mental, but with every health issue, it's a lot easier to take a Tylenol when you have a headache other than to go to prayer and ask, you know, Jesus to heal you. And we're all guilty of that. But we really want to stress in this particular episode that there is healing for every, like you said, every ailment, everything that you're going through, there's healing that Jesus can give you. And at this point, I would love to like share, you know, a personal story that I lived through in the trauma, the PTSD that Jesus healed in my life. If you would give me a moment to share that, or if you even want to hear it.
I do want to hear it, but I tell you what I would like.
What would you like?
Lori, if you don't mind, let's close this one out. Let's close this one out and let's pick up next week on this story, because I don't want to rush it. I want to have time. And we're already, you know, half an hour in. So let's go ahead and end this one. And then we will pick this right up. We'll pick up right here.
So join us next week if you want to hear my story about trauma.
You are going to hear Lori's story next week, friend. And again, you are not who you were. If you are a Christian, if you know me well enough, you've been listening to this. You know, that's a Christian. That's Christ in you. It's a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are not who you were. And whatever problem you're facing, mental, spiritual, physical, it does not matter. Jesus has taken care of it. Jesus died for that situation, and you can be free. And you renew your mind to who you are now in Christ Jesus. You renew your mind to what you have now in Christ Jesus and what you possess now in Christ Jesus. And you can be completely healed and delivered from whatever you are going through right now. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Jesus Christ. We love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week. God bless.